Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory. Woo! You better put them hands together.
Put them together for a Red Hot Tuesday in Austin, Texas. 100 degrees on tap again today. We hit 100 yesterday. Could be coming. Not a cloud in the sky. And that is one of those days where it just looks hot out the window, Buck. Just looks it's warm in the ATX. And that is certainly the case. It's already 75 degrees. It'll climb towards 100. Same for tomorrow. I don't see a cloud for the rest of the week. And into the weekend, Father's Day weekend, which is coming up. It's going to be a good one. We've got a lot to talk about. Texas heading to Omaha. The field is formidable, but should be a lot of fun. Also, the U.S. Open tees off on Thursday at Torrey Pines out in San Diego. Make sure you're getting over to the website, hornfm.com. We'll reset that contest, but the prize bag is stacked. As Bucky brought a bunch of stuff back from the Mullet Open to go with the prize that were already there. So go pick your nine golfers who you think will have the best weekends at Torrey Pines and the United States Open. It'll wrap up on Sunday, and we'll have a winner come next week. Also, the Austin FC gearing up for they're open for business this week out at the Austin FC in the new Q2 Stadium. Tomorrow night, the U.S. Women's National Team, the best women's team in the world, will be in our fair city playing the Nigeria in a friendly.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a packed house. And then, of course, Saturday night, Austin FC hosting San Jose in their first ever home match.
Yeah, big game for the women because they've got to get their team down for competition for the Olympics. Tokyo, so their jobs are at stake here in this friendly. As a matter of fact, they got to go from 23 to, what did I say, 18 players? Yeah, to 18. So
whittling the roster,
yeah,
for the Tokyo Games.
Not everybody can go. Not everybody gets a medal.
That is correct. So yeah, it's a good week. I mean, typically June kind of a slow time for sports, but not with Texas and the heading back to Omaha again and this ball club and what its ceiling can be. And then, gosh. Austin FC, which there's a lot of excitement in this town for that. I mean, the tickets are really hard to get.
Yes, they are.
It's funny when you hear people trying to get all the tickets, and I think we'll talk to Andy Lockman, the team president, this week at some point, but they're only making 4,000 tickets available for a game. I mean, that's it, because everything else is
season ticket holders.
Yeah. I mean, it's a hard ticket to get, and they've got 20,000 seats out there. This is not a small stadium.
No.
But, yeah, it's a tough ticket, which, you know, there'll be a lot of excitement this week and coming out of it. The first experience in that new facility will be phenomenal.
And great for the players, finally coming home after eight games on the road in any sport.
Really, two and a half months. I mean, it's been, their first game was in April.
Right.
It's been 2.5 months on the road. And, yeah, it will be great to see the home crowd. I know they've had some fans, the fan group, traveling with them to watch them, but that'll be great to be 20,000 strong when they play on Saturday. So it's a cool week. Make sure you're getting to the website, hornfm.com. Make those picks. Let's get to your headlines, trending topics, news of the morning. Top Gun, Law and Quint Reynolds bring you the news. In college baseball, the headline with the 8-team field for this year's College World Series in Omaha set after yesterday's last couple of games. The Super Regional round is over. Virginia and Mississippi State have rounded out the field with Super Regional wins. And Game 1 yesterday was the Virginia Cavaliers staving off elimination for the sixth time already. They've already played 8 postseason games. And they've been on the brink of elimination 6 times. They've won them all. Beat Dallas Baptist yesterday 5-2. Difference was it was a 2-1 game in the 7th inning when the freshman Kyle Teal for Virginia hit a 2-out grand slam. That became the game winner. Mississippi State, meanwhile, won the Starkville Super Regional with an 11-7 win over Notre Dame. They jumped out to a big lead, had a 6-run second inning en route to that victory. So beginning on Saturday in Omaha, there are 2 separate 4-team double elimination tournaments that will play out with the winners to meet next weekend. Day 1, NC State facing Stanford, and that's followed by Arizona facing Vanderbilt. That's a battle of top 8 seeds there. Then on Sunday, Virginia, the Cinderella will play the number 3 overall national seed, Tennessee. That'll be followed by the Texas Longhorns facing Mississippi State. That game has been set for a 6 o'clock first pitch on Father's Day evening. You'll hear it, of course, right here on the Horn, on the Horn app, with a 5:45 pregame. Texas, the highest-seeded team remaining, and they've steamrolled their way to Omaha. 5-0 in the postseason. They've outscored their 5 opponents 49-12. and have trailed for only one half inning in the first five games. One other note from college baseball, word from Fort Worth today that TCU has scheduled a major announcement this afternoon at a press conference, and looks like Kirk Sarlos, their pitching coach, is going to be named their head coach to replace Jim Schlossnagel, who took the job at Texas A&M. NBA playoffs last night. What a game in Atlanta. The Hawks roar back from 18 down in the second half to stun the top-seeded Philadelphia 76ers, 103-100. They even that best of series at 2 each. Trae Young, 25 points, 18 assists. Also last night, Clippers jumped out to an early quick lead and never looked back. They roll past Utah, 118-104. They outscored the Jazz 38-13 in the first quarter and were in control all night. One NBA game on the card tonight. That's Milwaukee and Brooklyn to face the Nets in that 2-2 series in the East. Nets have already announced that they're going to be without both Kyrie Irving and James Harden for that all-important Game 5. Irving rolled his ankle on Sunday in the Game 4 loss to the Bucks. He will not be ready to go, and James Harden still recovering from that hamstring injury. Major League Baseball, Houston and Texas both off last night. They're going to open a quick two-game Lone Star series down at Minute Park in Houston tonight. Lance McCullers facing Kyle Gibson. Round Rock was a 5-4 winner in Sugar Land.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment.
Come to Top Gun and buy or rent the equipment you need for your construction and lawn projects, and you could win a bottle of 1942 Don Julio tequila or Blanton's whiskey.
TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
All right, so a lot happening. That prize pack for the U.S. Open contest, Buck, and props to you, my friend, for loading it up, because you've got two $50 Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue gift cards. So you're eating some great barbecue if you can pick the best nine golfers at the U.S. Open. Then a $25 card to Hat Creek to get those great burgers. P.F. Chang's gift card. Tony C's with a gift card as well, plus a mullet open hat, Tito's t-shirt, two great-looking golf shirts, 12, count them a dozen, Titleist golf balls. And all you got to do is register before 8 a.m., actually 9 a.m. Thursday morning.
All right, I asked you a question, and I don't know. John Rahm is playing, correct?
That is correct.
Because I'm taking him as one of my top five players in this deal, along with Phil, and I'm bringing Rosie back into play. How about that? Rosie is going to be back into play. Morikawa is into play with me. And
you got to pick one from each, some overlap on this.
I understand.
Okay.
And Cantlay somewhere down the line. I'm picking him to be in this. But so John Rahm, it's only on the 5th of June, you know, he got the COVIDs, right? And it's the, what are we at, the 15th day, 10 days.
Well, he was asymptomatic but tested positive for the COVIDs on the Friday of the Memorial Tournament. Of course, he led Saturday.
Okay.
But they double-checked the result, and it was a confirmed COVID, yes.
So you think he's got his shot? Did he go get a shot? I mean,
I've read.
It's really weird. How do you do that in 10 days? How do they let you get back? I don't think they would let you come back to the PGA unless you got vaccinated, right? So he probably went and got vaccinated.
I had heard or read somewhere that he had already had the first shot, just not the second, when he tested
second.
Positive.
Okay. Okay.
On that Friday. That he'd had the first shot, never got to the second.
So he's probably, obviously, he's probably got to his second by now.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So he's, and remember, I mean, I feel bad for John Rahm that he lost out on $2 million and a chance, but he could have gotten that done sooner. And, you know, they only test unvaccinated players. So if you're vaccinated and you have your receipt or whatever, they don't test you anymore.
But there was a deal about, obviously, I just got the one. I got the Johnson. But if you got two vaccinations, you had to wait a certain amount of time, too. You just couldn't go bang, bang, right?
No, there's a timeline to it. Correct.
So that may have been the problem with him. It may not have been his fault at all.
Well, he still could have gotten it sooner than that. But either way, I mean, he lost himself out on a lot of money and a huge win at the Memorial. I mean, that's Jack Nicklaus's tournament. That's one of the, outside of the majors, that's one of the bigger tournaments of the calendar year. But yeah, he's ready to go. He'll be one of the guys teeing it up at Torrey Pines on Thursday, and he'll be one of, I think,
he'll have a little bit of a mat on, won't he?
And he was playing great. I mean, he was playing lights out. Absolutely, he'll be mad. And look, he put out a really classy statement. He didn't blame anybody but himself. He said these are the circumstances, and that's, you know, a lot of people were blaming others, and it was really on John Rahm to get himself. I mean, he's an independent contractor, and these are the rules.
As you said, he could have got that done earlier.
Sure, he could have. And you know, that's. You know the rule. I mean, you cannot like the rule, but the PGA Tour and the Memorial Tournament had a rule, and if you test positive, you have to withdraw, whether you're in first place or last place.
See, I didn't know if John Rahm was just taking a chance. And as you said, no, he got the first one done, and maybe the second one just didn't fall in time. You couldn't just go get a second
one
anytime you wanted to, and he just happened to
it
get COVID.
It appears that is the case. And
yeah.
I mean, he was asymptomatic, and he said he never felt bad at all. He just, you know, which people his age, he was 25 years old.
Right.
That's very common to be positive but not feel any symptom. with the COVIDs. But John Rahm is in that group one. So, Buck, if you're going to pick him, you got to pick him over Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, Bryson DeChambeau, Justin Thomas, and Dustin Johnson.
I'm going to pick the guy with the mat on, I think.
The Spaniard?
Yeah.
With the short backswing? But the power,
wow.
Guy gets his hips through the ball. Now, in that group, Xander Schauffele is interesting to me because he's a San Diego native, grows up playing that course quite a bit, Southern California
just
kid.
Just can't close.
He's the number six player in the world right now. But, yes, he has not been able to close the deal. Look, I mean, that's a huge story with his local, but the biggest story is Phil Mickelson, who, you know, what a performance he had at the PGA Championship. He had no peer, and, you know, we talked about it when he was winning the PGA Championship. This was not a one-off thing. He doesn't know that the U.S. Open was in his home city of San Diego and on a course he knows very, very well, as he was doing all the work that our man Dave Pels was talking about getting ready for this golf season. That he knows the only major he doesn't have is the U.S. Open. He knows that it's in his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
He understands, and his game is in form.
Yeah, not a lot of talk about Jordan Spieth this week for some. I mean, he's been playing pretty well, but there's no talk about him in this one for some odd reason. It seems like a course that he should be able to handle. The rough isn't that rough, right? The rough is like the ocean and spots like that.
Well, like any ocean course we just saw at Kiawah, I mean, the wind's going to be a huge factor, the mm-hmm. prevailing winds, and of course in California, the fog will roll in every
gotta
now and
again. Got to hit it straight again.
Yeah, I mean, you got to contend with the Pacific Ocean winds this time, not the Atlantic, and we'll get primetime golf. Things won't tee off until 10 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock.
And I like Phil and his groupie, as a matter of fact, out of all those guys. Hometown guy.
Well, I'm picking Phil. I'm going to put Phil in this mix because he's in the group six on our website contest with Ryan Palmer and Corey Connors, Tommy Fleetwood, Victor Perez, and Matthew Wolf.
Yeah.
I think Matthew Wolf would be one I would look at. But, yeah, Phil's going. I mean, you can just see the look in the guy's eye. The guy has been planning. He wants this U.S. Open. Does that mean he gets it? No. You got to go perform. But I do think the work he's put in over the last couple of years with Dave Pels and his team to get his body right, he's in as good a shape as he's ever been in far as his body. His ability, he's still driving the golf ball out there as far as anybody. He's not the longest driver in the world anymore, but
still hard to win two majors in a row.
As Dave Pels told us when we talked to him after the PGA Championship, if he keeps it in the fairway, he's hard to beat. I mean, because he's the best wedge player in the history of the game.
And he knows how to come out of these bunkers too, man.
Yeah, he's the best short game player in the world when he's on, and I'm definitely picking Phil to be in my top 10.
Going to Rosie again. I'm going to call on Rosie. I've neglected him for the last couple tournaments. I've said no. But I'm going to go back to Rosie again.
Okay, we'll get those.
You know who I'm not going to? Tony Finau. No thank you, Zay. Tony Finau is not going to be a part of my business yet till he wins a tournament.
I don't think you can put him on there. I mean, he's in the top 10 as far as, odds favorites kind of things. He seems to have the game, but you're right. And kind of like Schauffele, until they can close one.
Right.
But, how many times we see a guy finally finish one, finally get the deal? I mean, Gary Woodland won one a couple years ago at a U.S. Open. Bryson DeChambeau was this guy last year.
That's true.
He can't win a major. He's got to have the short game for it. Well, he went out and won the U.S. Open by five or six strokes last year. So I think you have to consider Bryson in this conversation as well. I saw him yesterday. I was watching some Golf Channel, and he and Phil Mickelson were playing a practice round together, and Phil was actually giving him chipping tips.
I bet he was.
Oh, it's great. I mean, you couldn't hear it, but you could see what he was working on.
The media darling.
Well, I mean, he didn't tell the Golf Channel to turn the cameras on. They were playing a practice round. And all of a sudden, they're watching those two live working on chipping.
What about Brooksy?
Well, I'm hoping they pair Brooksy with Bryson.
We'll see on Thursday if you take Brooksy by Wednesday, if Brooksy's a part of your business. Brooksy's a winner. He knows how to win, too.
Well, and how's the knee? How's the knee?
How is the knee? Oh, my knee. The crowd, they were kicking me. Do you remember how they kicked him? On his way through,
he got jostled. They were that
he
was quite
got knocked around.
Yeah, that's not good when you're trying
baby.
To hobble your. You call him a baby. You're grumpy today. Why call him a baby? He just he's hurt. Guy's hurt.
Nah, he's fine. He's ready to go.
All right. Well, that's the picks. Go make them. HornFM.com. You got till Thursday at 9 a.m. to get your picks in, and then watch throughout the Father's Day weekend. And we now know Father's Day will include the Longhorns at 6 o'clock against Mississippi State. We'll talk to David Pierce this week, and I got to figure out with the folks at UT when we'll get Coach Pierce. I don't know what their travel plans are going to be to get up to Omaha, but they don't play till Sunday. I'm going to guess they leave Friday to get up there, get a walkthrough on Saturday at the stadium, because they'll be playing games over there on Saturday, but get the facility, get set up, and be ready to go Sunday. Longhorns will play the final game of the weekend on Sunday night against the Bulldogs of Mississippi State, who, as we said, the way the things come full circle, the Longhorns' first game of the year, which I think a lot of folks don't even remember because it was an 11 o'clock first pitch on a Saturday in Arlington when most of us were still thawing out from the snowpocalypse on that Saturday and trying to get things cleaned up. And the Longhorns played Mississippi State, lost 8-3. And that was part of that 0-for-3 trip to Arlington the Longhorns had that they've used as a rallying cry all year long. Remember Arlington, because they were humbled and pretty humiliated coming out of those three games. Since those three games, they've won 47 of 58 ballgames, 47-12 since those three, and go in as the highest-ranked seed. But Mississippi State is no slouch by any stretch. They come out of that very tough SEC. They are also a top-8 national seed and won the Starkville Regional last night. So good baseball coming up this weekend. On top of the golf.
Yeah, a lot of baseball. Express are playing, too, in town. I mean, this is...
Yeah, the Express come home this weekend.
Packed.
The Express come home this weekend, and they're playing the Oklahoma City Dodgers. Whenever you see them come down, a lot of Dodger fans will make their way out to the Dell Diamond to see their top prospects, in addition to the Texas Rangers. Yeah, a lot of baseball, a lot of golf, soccer on the brain, and football, of course, as we count down the days of the college football season. That continues to be a conversation as well. With our Athlons, put out their preseason all Big 12 teams. Only one Longhorn making the first team. That'd be Bijan Robinson, along with Breece Hall and Deuce Vaughn at running back. Everything else, a lot of Sooners, a lot of Iowa State represented in that preseason all Big 12 team. But that's all speculative at this point. Who can step up for the Longhorns becomes a question in football.
So you're going to rely an awful lot on coaching if you don't have a guy on the first team. Not a guy. Not one guy.
Well, one, Bijan.
Bijan.
And that's your best player. And you got to feature him. Now, again, I've talked about Joel Klatt, the Fox analyst, saying that he thinks Bijan's the best running back in the country. That's disputable, but at the same time, I think he's as dynamic as a young player as we've seen at Texas in a long time as far as a game-breaking type player. Not much he can't do with the ball in his hand. And Joel Klatt's assertion was if you get him 25 touches, the Longhorns will win 10 games.
What do you think since Jamaal Charles?
As far as an explosive running back, yeah, I think that's probably right.
That's a while.
They've had some pretty good backs.
That's a while. That's a long time in between.
Yeah, it's been a while since you've had a running back at Texas that you come out of your seat when he gets the ball.
Yes.
You're like, oh, and then the cuts and the stiff arms and the explosiveness and the balance and the vision. I mean, that total package, because the Longhorns we know they had a run of them from Ricky Williams to Cedric Benson to Jamaal Charles. I mean, they just rolled them through, and it's been a bit. I mean, there have been some pretty good backs, but people can correct me. But as far as explosiveness?
No, it's been since Jamaal Charles. With this kid, that's how long it's been.
Yeah, I think so.
And, wow.
And so, I mean, can you win? Look, the only thing I say about Texas is, yes, they have to replace Sam Ehlinger, and that's huge. He was their leader and their quarterback. But this was a team that lost just three games a year ago, and all three were eyelash close. So I do think there's some talent there that with better coaching, as you just mentioned,
right.
They may not be getting the preseason accolades because, quite honestly, the Longhorns have a bunch of guys who haven't done it yet.
It's true. What is there to show for it?
Right. But do they have guys with better coaching without the rotations that can step forward and play to an all Big 12 level? Because I think that would be my bumper sticker statement on that. Texas has players. I'm not talking about all Americans. I'm talking about you're playing to all Big 12 level. This is an average conference at best. Why shouldn't Texas have multiple guys playing to an all conference level with proper coaching, proper scheme, and what they do week by week? I think they should.
I don't know. We've gone through 10 years.
I know.
It's not like we're going through 3 or 2 or 5. We're going through 10 years of guys that aren't all Big 12 level. We're not. Not just not all Americans, but not all Big 12 level. Within your conference, you don't make first team. So we've seen it for a long time. And if coaching matters, we'll find out now. But the only thing I'll say about that, the other guys aren't getting any worse. Iowa State doesn't get worse.
No.
Oklahoma doesn't get worse. They keep rolling them out.
I mean, clearly, Oklahoma and Iowa State are the favorites in this conference, and they're the most veteran teams. They're the most complete teams. They have the fewest questions to answer.
My deal is you shouldn't be losing to TCU.
I'm talking about the rest of
their – You should not be losing to those groups.
There's 10 teams in your league.
Yes.
And you should be beating – hand. And look, last year, Texas lost to Iowa State in a nail-biter, Oklahoma in a 4-overtime game, and they gave a game away to TCU. One like they were getting blown out of the field.
No, I just count those as what they are. They're losses.
Correct.
You lost.
Correct. But I do think there's talent in the program to, with better coaching, win those games, finish those games. Now, can they beat Iowa State this year in Ames?
Now, what is scarier for you, that you don't see the guys that are on these teams on offense with the exception of the running back, or that you don't see them on the defensive side? Is it more scarier to you with this football team over the last couple of years, there's not enough on the defensive side? Well, I think that bothers me more than anything.
Well, I mean, because again, who are you going to put on there? Who would you argue for should be first team All Big 12 on the defensive side? Based on, I mean, Joseph Osai clearly would as he came back for his senior year.
There's no doubt.
But Joseph Osai wasn't on this preseason list last year.
That's
at
right.
This time, and he played to an All American caliber level, and that's what I'm talking about. And Joe Osai went out and just busted his ass and became a great player. The Texas needs four or five guys to do that this year that we aren't talking about right now, but we know a DeSean Jameson can go have a great season. We know DeMarvion Overshown, Alfred Collins. These are guys that can emerge and play to that level. There are guys in that offensive line. There are guys that
and there's some young guys in that secondary I like too. They were freshmen last year that started to come on.
Yeah, I mean it's they're there. Can they be developed? And that Steve Sarkisian has been consistent about that. Remember how he said when recruiting began, hey, don't lose your focus on this team.
Correct.
We got a lot of work to do with this group to be ready to go come
September.
His
expectations is he's like you are, your expectations. He's going to be in the thick of things. He can see that through the coaching. All he has to do is turn on the damn film and watch the games that they lost and go, oh, my God. I mean, really?
Yeah. I think that's a fair
statement.
Let
them hang there against Iowa State. Stop them, please.
And keep five in the on the game and let them keep running the ball. Don't let them bleed, you know, whatever.
Put your face on somebody.
Put your face on that. Somebody, a couple people mentioned Deontay Foreman. Deontay, he won the Doak Walker, had a 2,000-yard season.
Well, I would have to say yes. If you leave him out, that's crazy. He won the Doak Walker Award.
And I'll give Charlie Strong, there's not a lot of accolades for his time here, but when he had a horse, he saddled him up and rode that big dude. It was just
all the way to the Doak Walker Award. That's right.
What did he have?
You're
the 40 carry game the one time or whatever it was? I mean, it's like, hey.
What the hell was that? Was that against Oklahoma?
Kansas, I think.
Was it Kansas?
If memory serves. But people were with a better memory than
they
me.
They win that game?
Oh, let's not talk about that.
Oh, my God.
Let's move on from the Kansas loss. Yes, but you know, okay. So, but it,
you're right.
But you know what? As much as I like Deontay Foreman, he was big and fast. I still think even as a sophomore, Bijan Robinson brings more explosiveness and receiving ability out of the backfield to the table.
He's an all-around back.
He can do a lot, and he can score in a lot of ways. He's a threat for the home run each time. But he can also grind you out. He's bigger than you think. I mean, he's 220. He can be a power back, and then he can be the home run hitter too. But
well, he has to be, because what's going to happen is everybody's going to load up for number five. People need to understand, they're not just going to play normal defense and let number five they're loading up for him. And that's where the coaching has to come in, E, because all we talk about is give him 30 carries. Yeah, well, you can give him 30 carries, but let me tell you, when they're loading that box, you better be able to throw that ball down the field. You better be able to do some different things, because the guys on the other side aren't dumb. They know who the best player on your football team is going to be and what you're going to try to do.
If I'm a coach like Steve Sarkisian, a former quarterback and the offensive mind he is, I love it that I got a guy they're going to load the box for.
Yes.
That should create opportunities
for me. I like load it. For me, I used to beg for people to load the box up against Priest Holmes and Ricky. Please load the box.
Yeah.
That means everybody else has got their back turned running around man-to-man for me.
That creates opportunities.
Yes.
For others. And then loosen them up, and then give it to five. I mean, that's. I mean, to me, that's how an offensive mind would think. And you think Lincoln Riley cares if you load the box to stop their run game?
Okay. No, they're still going to run.
Okay, we're still running, and we're going over the top with Marvin Mims.
And where's our best offensive lineman? Because that's where we're going.
Yeah, that's right. All right, we come back. Well, thoughts on all of that? We got a great week going on. We got Texas in Omaha. We've got the U.S. Open. We've got Longhorn football on the brain. It's good stuff. We'll also get a Craig Way report before the end of this hour, and you know, before the end of the 8 o'clock hour, it's your time to shine with the Blitz. So make a plan to bring that strong. It's B&E on the Horn.
And Aaron.
Hey, coming up, somebody who covers the Dallas Cowboys on the daily for a living for theathletic.com has ranked the five Cowboys who were the most impressive during the minicamp they had last week. Most stood out. We'll get you that coming up. Also, Craig Way has a Craig Way report talking Texas and Omaha. Now we're going to know they're facing Mississippi State Sunday at 6 o'clock. Good way to wrap up your Father's Day weekend. And your Father's Day, if you're a Longhorn fan, for sure. I'm assuming a lot of folks will be watching that game with their father or with their kids, or three or four generations of Longhorn fans watching the College World Series on Father's Day. That'll be a lot of fun. And I'm assuming a lot of those folks making their way to Omaha, making plans to get up there. to be a part of it. A lot of Longhorn fans will travel to Omaha, Nebraska to be a part of this weekend. I was reading this, though, Buck, from theathletic.com. You know, the big story of the weekend, this past weekend outside of Texas baseball, was the recruiting weekend it was.
Yes, sir.
And the big kid, Arch Manning in town. Athletic has a story in which they talked to Arch Manning's high school football coach at Isidore Newman High in New Orleans, Louisiana. He had this to say. Nelson Stewart is his name. And he said, told theathletic.com that Texas coach Steve Sarkisian and quarterbacks coach A.J. Milwee and the Texas staff have done a marvelous job of building a relationship with Arch and have handled his recruitment, quote, the right way. Here's a quote from the head coach there of his high school team. It's early in his recruitment, but no coach or staff has worked harder than Coach Sark. He's just worked tirelessly to build that relationship between the two. It's been authentic. They've been able to connect. And as the head coach, to make yourself that available, I think it speaks volumes. He said when the Mannings met Sarkisian in person on Friday, he said it's as if they already knew each other.
So, well, he's a relationship guy.
Yes.
Very important.
And obviously that's
to him.
A huge recruitment. I mean, that's a national story where Arch Manning lands. And, you know, Steve Sarkisian is a quarterback guy. And, you know, the recruitment of Arch Manning for them began when they were at Alabama. You know, so this is not new. But, you know, he's got upcoming visits, Arch does, to Alabama.
And Clemson.
He's already been to Clemson. He's been to Clemson. But did say he fell in love with the city as well, as Coach said. He said said the city reminded him of New Orleans a little bit, and he enjoyed that. That a lot of good things to do, good nightlife, and good food. So Arch Manning, a name to watch. He did participate in Texas's camp on Saturday, getting to throw with several high school recruits. And so there's already a kid there, that the kid from El Campo, Reuben Owens, one of the faster players in the state. He's already committed to Texas for that class of 2023, which Arch Manning is in. And they got along very well this weekend.
Yeah, I would like to have seen at least two others that would have committed over this big recruiting weekend. And I know it's long. I mean, kids are just taking off for the first time. I understand that. But I'd like to hear a lot more saying, I'm going to Texas, just to start it out. I know it's a long recruiting process, but wish I'd heard two more that just saying, we're coming.
Yeah, no, we'll see. Because typically when these happen, there's kind of a couple days lag or a week lag, and all of a sudden – the momentum, you know, moves forward.
Sure.
But, you know, this is, you know, class of 2022, you would like to hear. This is 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So those kids are just beginning their cycle.
Yeah, they haven't got out.
They're about to play their junior season.
And they haven't got out.
Yeah, and this is their first few trips out. Yeah. So Arch Manning, the name to watch. And really, it's good to hear that whether he gets Arch Manning or not, that Steve Sarkisian is, you know, well thought of like that and is doing the things the right way, as the high school coach said about their recruitment of Arch, which, man, that's a... I mean, it would be as I mean, you, I mean,
that, is there no chance for the other kid that went off to Ohio State? Is that
I think
kind of a
no? It's over.
He's not going. He's going
South
where
Lake Carroll kid.
Yeah.
Well, and Texas has already got the commitment from the 5-star kid from California, who's going to be their quarterback of the class of 2022. But look, Arch Manning. That's a Chris Sims type recruitment. That's a national name. And bigger than Chris Sims. That's one that you land Arch Manning, and I don't know what his timeline is for when he wants to make this decision. But at the same time, that becomes a Pied Piper situation. That becomes wherever Arch Manning goes, there's going to be other top players that are going to want to go.
But you have to believe he's going to see every place he says he's visiting, he's going.
Sure. And, you know, he'll have great, you know, people talking through him, through the process with him on this. He's got two uncles who've been through this.
Right.
He's got a grandfather who's been through this. I mean, he'll have a lot of good advice on where to land and how to land. But at least early indications are it went well. For him this weekend. All right, but Cowboys who stood out in minicamp. This is football, right? And we won't see the Cowboys back on a football field until July in their training camp when they start getting ready for the 17-game 2021 football season. But according to John Machota, who also works at theathletic.com, he covers the Dallas Cowboys. He ranked Cowboys' top five standouts from OTAs and minicamp. He says number five on the list, this is good news for the Cowboys, Leighton Vander Esch.
Oh, good.
Leighton Vander Esch.
Gotta have that now.
Says injuries prevented the 2018 first-round pick from putting together a second Pro Bowl season like he had his rookie year. But he said looked to be in great shape, made excellent plays during both camp, OTAs and the mini-camp, looked instinctive playing in Dan Quinn's new defense. And he says he feels great. That's the best thing. He says, this is the best shape I've been in health-wise. Can that maintain? Right, he's battled neck issues, but at least in June, he's reporting that he feels good.
Right.
That can only be a good thing to get Leighton Vander Esch back on the field because he is a good player.
a first-round draft pick.
And when he's been healthy, he's been good.
Yes.
He's an instinctive player and very athletic, tall, rangy, can make plays. 2-4 on the list is Zeke Elliott. We heard this from a lot of folks who cover the Cowboys, including our friend Brian Broaddus, that Zeke looks great. Here's Dak Prescott, says Zeke looks great. He's in the best shape of his life. Looks fast. Everybody's seen the clips of him working out independently with our running backs coach. And that was a report from all that, you know, you've talked about Zeke maybe in a little extra poundage in the belly there and the six-pack we used
to. He also used to come into camp like that. And he'd work out hard, but his deal was to get in better shape when camp come instead of coming into camp in shape. It looks like he's in shape right now.
Yeah. Well, I think all the Cowboys were pretty embarrassed by their performance last year, namely Zeke.
Rightfully so.
I mean, Zeke, yes, he lost his offensive line, but you know, he knows you can't fumble the football.
No.
He knows you can't hurt your ball club like that. He did it over and over again.
And that got to be a head thing with him. I mean, he's just dropping the simple balls, putting it on the ground.
3 on the list from John Machota, Micah Parsons. This is exciting.
So, got to expect that.
I think what the expectation was, not sure, but according to everybody there, he looked comfortable dropping into coverage, which is something, you know, whether they asked him to do that or not, but he did. Knocked down multiple passes in passing drills, and then just looked the part of an athletic
player.
That's
just a natural player.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the most athletic player in the draft. He was the best athlete in the draft. I mean, all the numbers said it, but there was all these little questions. Can he drop? Can he do this? He's just a natural athlete. If his head is into the game, he can play.
Well, and he was the second defensive player drafted in this draft of heavy offensive players?
He can play.
And here's what John Machota wrote. It says, the size and athleticism are obvious. As long as Parsons can pick up Dan Quinn's scheme, he should be one of the team's top defensive playmakers and has a legitimate shot at defensive rookie of the year. That might be a bit optimistic, but wow. Because they need people to make plays, and they need linebackers to make plays, and wherever they use him as a pressure player or if he is in coverage, he's a 4-3
guy. He's made
guy.
That team better when he came as a draft pick. That's a good draft pick.
He's a 4-3 player. Does he have the maturity to be ready to go for a full 17-game season? That'll be the question for a young player like that. Dak Prescott is 2 on the list. Just for the fact that he looked great, looked healthy. There were no signs of any lingering impact of the foot injury. He looked quick and sharp, and there's really no worry for the Cowboys that he's going to be ready for training camp and go full speed, which will be ready for the season, barring any other issues. But looking good at 1 on the list, this is a guy we don't mention much, is C.D. Lamb. He said C.D. Lamb looked phenomenal in the OTAs and minicamp. He is a guy, is he ready to assume the role of the Cowboys' best receiver? Whether he's the highest paid receiver for the Cowboys, he won't be that with Amari Cooper. But could CeeDee Lamb become the Cowboys' best and most reliable go-to player?
Yeah, I mean, here's a guy who had 70-some catches and dropped some of the most simple passes you've ever seen. His consistency, that's what he was all about. He made the spectacular catch, one-handed grabs, turning his body, twisting and turning his body like he did in high school. But some of the ones that just flat out hit him in the hands, he dropped. And that's the consistency that he has to play with to be at an all-pro level. That's what he needs. He's got all the tools. It's just probably playing the pros a little bit, you know?
It's funny that you mentioned the drop balls and the Zeke fumbles, and it just was a team last year that lacked focus.
Yeah, the fundamental, yeah.
They lacked focus.
Right. They didn't play like pros.
No, that was, yeah. I mean, just giving up on defensive plays, missed assignments, bad tackling, bad everything. You know, reliable players like Zeke are fumbling the football.
Just make it. It was about the injuries, but let's make it all full circle. It's about, can this guy still coach at this level?
Yeah, lead men.
Yeah,
that's the game. You know, having players ready to play 17 Sundays a year, and focused, and you know, almost like the team didn't trust the coaches. I mean, there's some Tom Herman here where the players don't trust the coach's game plan.
For those that have never coached at the college level or the pro level. And say your dad's been a coach, and he understands coaching, dude. If you can't lead other, you know what we like to, you know, we call them, you know, young guys or young men or whatever. If you don't know how to lead them, and they think you're suspect in your leadership ability to coach them, whether you're an assistant coach or a head coach or a head trainer, dude, they won't follow you, and it sucks.
Yeah,
and it just does. It's a hard road to overcome, and once they got that part of you that they don't trust you, and they don't trust in you, and that word starts to get out, you got to gain that back. And I think Mike McCarthy has to gain that back, because that guy lost ball games for them. As bad as they were, when the head coach starts losing ball games for you too, and you're no good.
Well, and the grumbling was they lost the ball games before it even started because the game plan was poor, especially on the defensive side of the ball with Mike Nolan, who looked like a fish out of water.
And how can you be a pro coach and not be prepared?
Right. Well, and that's what did Ed Too Tall Jones tell us when we spoke to him a month ago at the NFL Alumni Golf Tournament. He said, as a player, all you want to believe is when you sit on the field, you're the best coach team. Like, you're prepared.
Tom Landry, we were always prepared. We didn't always win.
Right. But and I felt like watching the Cowboys last year, there were players who were like, man, these guys don't know what they're doing. And it trickled down to the players.
I know.
And Mike Nolan had to go. I mean, there were a lot of people wanted to see the defensive coordinator fired during the season because the defensive scheme was just so, you know, simplistic and you know, not even competitive. And then that bleeds into the players, their trust in the coaches' trust in the players. And you're right. That is, to me, the number one factor. It looks to me, the exciting part about the Cowboys is for the first time in an offseason, there's not going to be a drama about contract. Who's getting signed? Is Dak going to get his deal? Zeke? You know, what about this? Who's holding out?
Parsons already, he has already signed.
None of that's there. And they do feel like they're going to be as healthy as they've been going into a training camp in a long time. If Zeke is indeed as good a shape as he's in, Dak is, you know, working his tail off.
I think those are the two guys. I think you hit the two guys. Is Dak actually, when those bullets are fired and guys are all around his legs, is he going to be willing to take off and run and do the things that have made him pretty good? And is Zeke truly, I don't care what he looks like, is he mentally ready to go? Or is that ball going to be on the ground and he's going to fall apart again? So we'll see. And I think for you, you talk about the offensive line. That group has got to be healthy.
100%.
Somehow.
Because an optimistic season can go south quickly if you lose both.
It's not like college football. If your offensive line stinks in the NFL, you got a problem.
Well, I think if your offensive line stinks at any level of football, you have a real problem. Because if the Cowboys, I mean, you lose both tackles, starting tackles in the National, that's Pat Mahomes what that's like.
Yeah, how do we think of that in the beginning of the season for the Cowboys? They were going to be okay when they kept losing the offense, those guys.
Well, because there was hope Lael Collins could come back, and he never did. And then Tyron Smith, you know, never played. If that's the case again, then they're going to be more of the same. They can be more focused and better coached. But if you can't block up front, you're not going anywhere.
But I do like hearing that about CeeDee Lamb because he missed a lot of balls that you would think, damn, you can make these spectacular grabs. You just got to be more consistent in grabbing the ball. 74 could have been 85 catches. I mean, he dropped a lot of weird,
I do think this is the year he becomes their go-to player.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I think he's that good. And I like Amari Cooper, but that makes it pretty devastating. You got both of those guys. And then you throw Michael Gallup into the mix with a refreshed and refocused Zeke. The offense can be back to...
And someone says coaching does matter. It matters.
There's no doubt. And that'll be the question, because guess what? You can regain that trust through the offseason, and then game one, you screw it up, it's all gone. You're like, oh, this guy's a bum. You know what I mean?
Who are they playing in game one?
Tampa. Champs.
Champs?
Thursday.
You mean the ones who want to be undefeated?
Yeah, we'll be back when we do it. I'll take that bet, by the way. The Buccaneers will not be undefeated this year.
I'm not throwing that one out there, no. That's too hard to do.
We will hit your blitz. It's only as good as you make it, so... Bring strong opinions. Come on. 447-3776. First, it's Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Salacious gossip ahead of your blitz. Load that up. That's your signal to call. 447-3776. You're the Entertainment Tonight theme. And a little gossip brought to you by Bud Light. What a Bud Light week it is. 100-degree temperatures, but we've got U.S. Open, Father's Day. Soccer at Austin FC, golf, baseball, too good.
Women's soccer.
Opportunities to crack back and crack open and drop back a nice cold Bud Light, the world's number one light beer. Only 4 great ingredients. Makes the good times great. The great times are always unforgettable with a nice cold Bud Light. Gosh, also live music coming back online. Get those Coke Fest tickets. Coke Fest, August 6th and 7th. Coe Wetzel and Aaron Watson, just a great lineup for 2 days out in Hutto at the Brushy Creek at Hutto Park.
Dude, did I see Eric Clapton coming to town?
Eric Clapton's coming to town?
I think so. I thought I heard he was coming to the Frank Irwin Center. Eric Clapton?
The great Eric Clapton. Like, the great Eric Clapton.
Yes.
Let's see what his schedule. I heard the commercial playing, the promotional commercial, so maybe he is. That'd be great.
Wow.
That'd be all-time show. I mean, it's one of those, might be the last time.
I agree with you. I wish it was a little more intimate setting, but...
He is 76 years old, but he's as healthy as he's ever been, because the guy tried to kill himself for a long time with the bottle. And,
yes, he did.
But boy, man, that's... I always say I recommend those music documentaries, the one on his life, The Life in 12 Bars. Mm-hmm. Eric Clapton's story, man, you want to talk about a guy that had it. He's had some sadness in his life.
Yes, he has. And still coming out on the good side.
Yeah, and helping a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, having been an alcoholic for a long time, he's you know, raised a lot of money for helping others get out of the addiction.
Lost I
know
your child.
You know, his four-year-old son fell out of a window, building window in New York City.
That would have done it for me, possibly.
And that was like maybe third or fourth on the list of the worst things that have happened to that dude in his life.
No, that's got to be the worst.
Well,
it would have to be the worst.
I could make an argument for a couple others.
That's how bad it's been for him?
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, you can go look and, yeah, his mother, who he thought it was his mother, really his grandmother.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mother, and yeah. Yeah.
Jimmy Vaughn's playing with him.
Ooh, I'm in. Hey, did you know, Buck, in our Salacious Gossip brought to you by Bud Light, that there is a massive Girl Scout cookie surplus? There are not many surpluses out there. There's a lot of shortage. You know,
yes, there is.
There's a chicken wing shortage. You know that? Like, you go out to buy some chicken wings at your favorite chicken wing place? They can't mean there's a chicken wing shortage, and it may be all the way through Thanksgiving into football season. But so chicken wing, but there's a Girl Scout cookie surplus.
I wonder if they got my favorite brand.
I'm sure they do. But now is the time to take advantage, because here's the deal. Not because they were any less popular, but because Girl Scout troops couldn't do in-person sales during COVID. So they've ended up with over 15 million boxes of unsold Girl Scout cookies that were manufactured that typically would be sold. They were never sold. Because they couldn't go door to door and they couldn't set up their shops. And
you know,
all
I like
that
one with the kind of vanilla on one side and chocolate on the back, too. I wonder if they're still around.
Well, here's what you do.
I'll buy 1,200.
Now, I don't think they're going to bring those back next year and sell them as
the same ones?
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Leave them in their box.
Oh, no, no, no.
You're going to be buying 2-year-old cookies next year.
You can't do that to me.
They're just cookies in a box that are in a bag. It's, how are you going to know?
It's 2 years.
Well,
got to get rid of them somehow. Or well, I guarantee the price won't go down.
They are asking people to check out their local Girl Scout website to see if they are still taking orders. Or you can check out their Hometown Heroes program to donate cookies to frontline workers. Because they would like to get rid of them and start back over next year. But, oh yeah, some of those 2-year-old boxes will seep into the production chain next year. I got to believe.
No, they got my favorite.
I've got to believe.
I won't stop. I'll buy them. I love Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, I know you do. What are your favorite ones?
I forget the name of them. It's just regular wafer on one side, but it has chocolate on the back side of them.
Ooh.
So good. That's when I get down with about two big glasses of milk, and I tear apart a whole thing of cookies in one sitting.
All right, here's a new survey that says five myths that people still believe in that are absolute myths. This is wives' tales kind of stuff. People still believe out there that goldfish have a 3-second memory. That's not true. It's not true.
I've been heard of that before.
You know the myth that a penny drop from the Empire State Building could kill you? That's inaccurate.
I've still believed in that. They got me.
It might hurt a little bit, but it is
a
too
little
light.
Bit.
I mean, it is sting.
That's it.
But it's too light. It doesn't have enough mass to kill somebody.
All right.
Also, this is a myth people believe still. The color red sends bulls into a rage. That's untrue. Bulls can't.
That's a myth.
Bulls can't see red at all.
No colors at all. Okay. I thought that.
That's all. Did you say, you know, the capes that the matadors use are traditionally red just to hide the blood stains?
From when they stab the bull?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or when they get gored.
All right. What else you got there?
That if you pee on a jellyfish sting, it'll actually make it sting worse.
I don't believe that. I just pee on myself just for the fun of it.
And how about this? These are my favorite now that swimming is here. But the old wives' tale that if you go swimming at 30 minutes after you eat or less, you're going to get cramps and you can drown.
That's true.
That's a bunch of horse manure.
Hey, listen, that's true. I'm a lifeguard. I'm a certified lifeguard. You can't have a hamburger at the pool and then go dive in there with hamburger and french fries in you.
Mayo Clinic, there is no scientific evidence that backs that
We've
up.
We've had problems at Bushwood like this before. With kids going down to the bottom with burgers in their belly.
No.
That's a myth.
That's mom wanting you to sit still for 30 minutes after you eat so that she can get some peace and quiet and not go back to the pool.
You say she just made that up?
Yeah, it's like Adult Swim that they still have. Like, Adult Swim, everybody out.
No running around the pool.
Right.
That's a part of that.
That's all to give the lifeguard a break.
Slip and break your neck.
It's all to give the lifeguards a little break. Mom gets a little break because if you eat the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, she can
wide-tail
you into, honey, you have to sit here for 40 minutes and not run back to the pool.
I used to tell those kids as a lifeguard, you just eat, go sit over there for a half hour or so.
You were spreading myths.
Because I don't want you in the pool. Brown.
Exactly, yeah, right.
That's right.
You're spreading rumors and myths.
Wow.
That's why it's gossip. All right, let's go to your Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Does that go along with the same myth that black people can't swim? Do you think that's the same thing that goes along with that? That's just a myth.
Is that your myth?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of myths. I hear that a lot. You can swim? Well, yeah. Huh. I'm still not buying the half hour thing. I'm not buying that at all. First Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, Sark needs to work Bijan Robinson in slowly. This is Tom Herman.
Right out of the box. The next Blitzer, talk to us.
Bucket.
What's up?
Say, man, I remember you telling me, don't put a lot of salt on your food, but pepper the crap out of it. So I cooked my girl breakfast this morning. I peppered the pepper out of it. She sneezed and blew pepper all in my face.
I'm sorry about that, little Kev. I do not like salt on anything. There's enough salt naturally in your foods. Pepper the hell
you're
out of it, though.
You're a pepper guy. What about paprika?
Pepper. Yeah. No, no. No. Only on my deviled eggs. Next, Blitzer, you're
That's
up.
That's right.
Yeah. To my beloved BLM Blitzer, if you want to know what a racist is, just take a look at that Mississippi State.
Why are you back? Everything was so calm and cool, and everything was going well. Next Blitzer, you're up.
So quiet without him.
You know what isn't a myth?
What?
Undefeated when you pound that rock 40 times.
He's not going to get the rock 40 times. I know you'd like to hear that, but that's a lot. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Hey, Buck.
What's up?
Man, it's so hot out here. I almost quit my job.
It is very hot. It's very hot.
I almost quit my job. Next Blitzer, you're up.
What does it take in 2021 to just rid the show of the Klan?
Oh, no.
Now we're done.
Shut it down! Let's go home!
Forgot the most important salacious gossip piece. A new poll found that 74% of fathers and dads don't want to be on the grill this Sunday.
What? Only what percent?
74%.
That's not enough.
Don't want any part of grilling on Father's Day.
That's not. That should be higher. This is your day.
Let's make some steaks, okay? Yeah, you go outside when it's 108 degrees.
Not this Sunday.
I'm out. I'll be watching the college baseball and U.S. Open final
round. Yes, indeed.
Round.
Laid up for Sunday.
Laid up. Darker the better.
Absolutely.
Cold Bud Lights. Leave me alone.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, come on.
Love All Father's right. Day.
Love it. Yeah, well, love this week. We'll come back. The Longhorns now know their opponent. We'll dive into the Mississippi State Bulldogs. What are they all about? As the Longhorns now zero in. Also, more football conversation. It's fun on a Tuesday.